Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
To the mouth of manliness with me, Nick Noyes, your resident gobshite. Before we start, I need to do a big shout out to Wergie Productions, who has very, very kindly offered to producing all my podcasts for me. I can't believe it. He's polishing the turd that is me. So it's amazing. I can't thank him enough because I know he'll listen to this. Thank you, Wergie. And I have the wonderful guest, Nicola Clark, or Nikki. It's Nikki?
Yeah, Nikki Clark. Yeah.
And, Nikki is the founder of My Black Dog, which I'm an ambassador for, and you would have all heard me talk about My Black Dog. I also put My Black Dog logo on all my comms now, so there's a little dog logo on everything. Welcome, Nikki. Thank you for coming on.
Nick, what a fab evening to spend with you. I love it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, I'm so pleased.
And we were just saying that we've never met, have we? Not in the flesh. We've never done that. And we're supposed to have a lovely ambassadors meet up with all the other My Black Dog ambassadors. And then something happened, I don't know, some sort of virus, you know.
Some weird shit.
Anyway.
I was so gutted about that. I was so, so gutted because I think what I want... I was messaging Eddie going, you going? Yeah, you going? Because I don't want to go like not knowing. Like, yeah, of course I'm going. I was like, all right, maybe we'll have a few drinks or something beforehand. And then I did some stuff, artwork for Fable. So I messaged her and I was going, are you going? She's like, yeah, I'm going. I'm like, oh, cool, right, all right. I'll know a couple of people. And I was thinking, oh, I might even dress smart. You know, like, I never dress smart. And I was kind of really excited. And I looked the place up on the internet and I was like, it looks really, really lovely.
Nice, yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to dress up. And I thought, I really wanted to meet the singer from Embrace as well. Because I'm a massive Embrace fan. So I was really excited about that. Yeah. But yeah, it didn't happen.
But no, it was so sad. We've got such cool cats involved with My Black Dog, don't you think? We've got a cool bunch, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely.
And I was so psyched to sort of see everyone and sort of talk about My Black Dog and everything. But you know what? We're doing it anyway, aren't we? We're doing it anyway. It's all fine. And if this is the way we have to meet, then this is the way we have to meet.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. I'm really used to Zooms now. Like, I've done, like, what, this is like my 15th. Podcast. I've really just been getting them in the bag recently. Every time anyone's got a minute, I'm like, you got an hour? Right, let's do it. And I've just been getting on with it.
I know, well done. Because we were supposed to do this last week, and I called you and said, I feel like shit and I can't do it. So which is what happens when My Black Dogs get you.
And yeah, exactly. And I'm always going to be understanding to that because I'm like, God, you know, that That's one of the worst things about depression, really, and like mental health problems, is it makes you really fucking unreliable at times.
Yeah.
People get the right up about it. It's really not conducive with work. Work don't like unreliable mental people like me.
Well, I know. And I was having a real, shitty day of it. And I was in a, having a few tears. And a friend of mine called and she said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "I've got to do this podcast and I'm a bit of a wreck." And she said, "Isn't your podcast on Mouth of Manliness? Don't you think you'd understand?" And I went, "Yeah, you probably would, actually." But, you know, I just didn't want to, I felt like, I don't want to let you down. I really was excited about it. And I thought, I just don't want to let him down. I'm really, I've been excited about getting on this podcast. It's been amazing. And now I just can't do it. And what if I say the wrong thing? And what if I do this? And, you know, it was, you know how those thoughts come in and they just engulf you. And you just, I couldn't physically do anything that day. And she went, "Why don't you just give yourself a break?" So I went, "Okay." And I contacted you and you were an amazing star as always and said, "Yeah, no worries." So it's fine. But it's just amazing to me how I got myself all het up about something that was so easily fixed and, you know, it was no problem. But I just took myself down that day, you know. I was so worthless that day. I wasn't worth anything. It was, yeah.
I mean, you just kind of highlight one of the biggest things, isn't it? It's like when you're not feeling good, like everything becomes an issue. And it's all like everything's just telling you you're shit. Takes you right down and like it just starts snowballing until you're in bed. You know, it's so true. Like, that happens to me all the time. So I was totally cool on that.
Yeah. And you were so brilliant. You were like, "Well, let me know if you want to talk." And sometimes you do want to talk, don't you? You just want to get rid of it and like, "Ugh, get it out of me." Like, "Oh, yeah, I want it to go." But I was in that mood where I just said, "I want to shut the world away." So that's what I did. I just shut the door and I just was zoned out, really, with some like mindless Netflix for a few hours. And just kind of turn my phone off, and it was brilliant. Actually, it was like a little reset button, but I really needed it because sometimes you feel like I'm going to explode. I got to get this off my chest. It's too much, and sometimes it's so scary to talk to other people, or you don't want to talk to other people, or whatever it is.
Well, that's right. It's quite often that I say to people, like, "Look, if you want to talk anytime, never really has anyone ever take me up on it, and I know what that's like, because yeah, when you're in it, you don't really want to talk about it, which is weird. It's counterproductive, because I find so like if I'm going through a bad patch, quite often I will ring up Peter Khan, my counsellor, my therapist, and I'll go, "Look, can we just have like an hour session at some point?" And he will just tell me all the things that I know. You know, like I know that I'm going down routes I've gone down before, and he'll remind me why that's not a good idea. And then I'll be like, "I forgot." You know, like it just went for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking madness. So, should we start with telling everyone what my black dog is? Yeah, your words really, because I describe it and sound better from you.
Sure. Well, My Black Dog is a charity that I founded, well, a couple of years ago I came up with the idea. And the reason for it is because, well, I've had depression my whole life. So, and I've been around the system, into so many counsellors, therapists, I've tried 101 ways to try and beat that. And I've done it. I've sort of gone through it, and it's been okay. But a couple of years ago, I had a really bad situation. I had a really traumatic event that happened to me, and I had PTSD, and then I had night terrors, and that led to anxiety. And then obviously that all crashed in, and the black dog, he just came back, and it was overwhelming, and I could not breathe. I couldn't function. It was a really rough time. I was actually given beta blockers for my heart because I was so anxious all the time, And so he gave me these to calm my heart down because I was in this sort of fight or flight response. Yeah, it was awful. It was a really, really rough time. What happened was, is what happens to a lot of people, is that I went to my doctor after a long time of considering it, but I knew I was unwell. So I went, I've got to go to the doctor, I've got to get some medication because I'm going to hurt myself. And I'd already hurt myself a bit. And I thought, I'll do it worse next time. So I thought, I will go to the doctor. And he gave me some medication and he said, okay, I want you to get some counselling. And I got put on a list. And I was on that list for about 8 weeks. And I was desperate. You know, I was in a real jam. And if I hadn't been through what I'd been through my whole life, I might not have made it. But I sort of hung in there with my eyelashes, hanging on with my eyelashes, kind of hoping to see someone and hoping to talk to someone. Because I didn't want to talk to my family at the time because I didn't want to upset them. Yeah. And my sister was having a baby, you know, her first baby, and it was a really joyful time. And I thought, I don't want to ruin that. And because that's what the black dog does. It tells you don't ruin stuff. All right. You're crazy. Don't ruin it. And then I didn't want to speak to my friends because I thought they were sick of me and I thought they'll leave me because I'm not fun anymore and they won't want to hang out with me. And, you know, I should have, to be fair, my friends are nicer than that. They're better friends than that. But again, the black dog.
Brian tells you, though, I love the fact that you say that because people don't realise that, you know, like, yeah, your mates are like, why didn't you talk to me? It's because my brain was saying that you're sick of me, you know, like you're so in that. Like you're so crap, you're so rubbish, and no one wants to know. And like your family have had enough of you, and that kind of thing. And they don't realise how isolated you become.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
100%. And I was scared of contacting my friends, and I put on this big face and be like, "Yeah, I'm cool, everything's fine. No, I'm all right." And even though they all knew I'd had this terrible thing happen, and they all knew, and they were ready there to help me. For me, I was like, no, I'm wrong. There's something wrong with me. It's something desperately, stay away from me. Anyway, so I was in this situation of pushing away friends and family. And I finally get to see a counsellor. And I sat in this counsellor's office. And I think I'd said something really appalling, like, I don't want to live anymore. And they said, and how does that make you feel?
Yeah, it makes me feel brilliant. I love it.
Mate, listen to me. I mean, I can't fucking get off the floor. I mean, come on. How do you think I feel? I just told you. I don't want to live anymore. Like, it was, I mean, I laugh about it now, but at the time it was awful. And I looked at all the qualifications, you know, all these stacks of certificates framed all around the office. And I thought, look, you're highly qualified, but it doesn't matter what we talk about in here because you'll never understand how I feel.
Yeah.
And I felt just desperately alone. And it was one of the worst moments of my life, I think. And I didn't want anyone else to feel that. I didn't want anyone else to feel like I can't talk to someone. I just wanted to talk to someone who got it, who understood me. And that's why I started My Black Dog, because I wanted to connect people to other people who've been through it so they could speak to somebody who really got it, who really understood. Because I would have given my right arm to have someone go, oh, I understand, I've been through that as well. But none of my friends, you know, my family, you know, this counsellor, the doctor, nobody understood me. And it was that misunderstanding that made me feel so bad, I think.
Yeah, it makes you feel really, really alone, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's kind of why I always reach out to people, because I'm like, you know, you could talk to me, because like there's nothing you can say that's going to scare me, you know, like. You know, you say you want to die, and I'm like, fuck yeah. I know exactly how you feel. I felt like that most of my life, you know. And it instantly.
I feel better talking to you. I do. It makes me, I don't feel so alone when I talk to you.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So, like, yeah, you say something, you said, I said something awful, like, I don't want to live. No. And for me, that's most of my life, you know. That's not kind of scary to me. And if someone says, oh, I want to die, or you know, I keep thinking about suicide, I'm like, yeah, but I know. Yeah, but you're alive. You're here. You haven't done it. So there's a reason, you know. So you want to be alive, even if you don't know it. So I totally agree though. Like, that's why I really dig it. That's why I really like My Black Dog, because I just think, yeah, just talking to someone who goes, yeah, I know. This is what I've done. Have you tried this? Maybe you could try this. Have you tried these different things? Have you thought about it this way? Rather than someone, a counsellor, just kind of making you feel judged. It's really difficult because quite often, I've been through loads and loads of counsellors, and, you know, I might get lucky 1 in 10, you know, and then you get one who's kind of like, they're with you. Quite often with counsellors as well, it's like they all stick to their field of counselling. So some counsellors won't ever share anything. All they'll do, they barely ask any questions. You know, like they don't engage with you particularly. Some counselling is like, no, this is CBT, so we can only do CBT. And you're like, but I need empathy as well. You know, I need a person to kind of to tell me it's all right. You know, you don't get that often with counselling. It's odd.
That's true, and that's often what I found when I'd had years and years of this, of going through various counsellors and going through them, you know, it was ridiculous how many I saw, and I always felt that disconnect every time I was there. And look, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to diss therapy, it really works for some people, it really does, but it never really worked for me, because I wanted a solution, I wanted to go in there and be like, okay, I feel broken, how can we fix me? Like, I don't feel like I can live anymore. How do we make me want to live? And they kept going, what do you think? Or how do you want to deal with it? And I was like, well, you're just saying what I said to you back to me. Why is this helpful? And I was so frustrated, and it just made me feel worse. And I would, you know, just cry out of frustration more than anything, because I just wanted someone to go, oh, fuck yeah, it's shit. Yeah, you know, it's going to feel shit for a while. When I was in the dark hole, this is what I did. And I would have loved that in any one of my counselling sessions, but I never had it. Yeah. And I think that I think it's really simple, a really simple solution to a very complex problem is that this empathy, because, you know, empathy is really powerful. You know, it gives you an alliance. You know, it gives you someone else to kind of walk through with it. Sympathy, not so much. Like, no one wants to be felt sorry for. I know I don't. I never wanted to be the sad kid in the corner. I mean, I always was, but I'd never wanted to be that person. I always wanted to be the fun person at the party and you know, the fun girlfriend and, you know, that sort of party all night person. But I wasn't. I was, you know, I was a depressed person. I mean, I am. I have depression. Mm. So I can't be that person all the time. And it would have been nice to have an ally in that. And not kind of had to put on a face, which we all do, but to sort of plaster on this face, at least to let that masquerade go just for a second, would have been just such a relief.
It's strange, isn't it? Because even as you were saying, like the people closest to you, I think it was only really a couple of years ago when my wife really, it clicked with her, you know, and she was like, I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to die. This is really serious, actually. I didn't realise. And before that, I thought she was kind of had empathy with me. But I think she was just kind of almost not in a nice way, but kind of just kind of going along. Yeah, and then one day she was like, you need to stop working. You need to stop. Everything needs to stop, and it needs to stop now. And then I was like, suddenly I felt so much more relieved, because
she's with lifesaver, honestly, lifesaver.
Yeah. Well, it was at that point, it really was. That was probably, it's weird because you think, like you, I've had it all my life, and often I'm like, that was the worst time, and I'm like, but what about that time? What about that time?
Worst times. It's like the history of horrors.
Yeah, I've had a million fucking rock bottoms. So let's go back then, because unlike most people, you're like me. You've had it pretty much all your life.
Yeah.
Most people I speak to, they don't. They don't.
I mean, and that's great, because I think inflicting this upon someone for a lifetime is a terrible thing. Yeah. Some people, you know, it's funny about mental health. Some people assume you only have it for a small amount of time, and they go, oh, you know, they had a bit of a thing a couple of years ago, but they're all right now. Yeah. It doesn't really work that way. It's that these things linger and they carry on, and maybe it's not as bad as it was, but it'll still sort of be there. And for you and I, it's going to be there forever. It always has been. And there are some people who have to live with these things continually. And that's another reason I wanted to do something about it, because when you get given this counselling from the NHS, it's a magic 6 weeks. That's what you get. You get 6 weeks. And then it's like, all right, back to work. And you're like, fuck, I'm just all over the shop. I don't know how to get back to real life. I mean, it's probably been a real pain to go to these sessions anyway, because they're always like of a Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Like, I'm supposed to be at work. How am I supposed to explain to work? Gotta go to this counselling session without explaining to everyone about my mental health. I don't want to do that at work, you know. I'm a private person. And so you made some elaborate excuse about physiotherapy, and you've gone on a bus bloody miles away to go to this session, and then you feel like a wreck afterwards. You cry on the bus the whole way home. I mean, the whole thing's a nightmare. And then it's like you've done that for 6 weeks and you've got to go back to work. And I just don't think it works that way. I just think people need more support. Yeah. So I wanted people to have a resource they could go to chat to someone anytime for, you know, for their whole lives if needs be. And hopefully my black dog will be around for lots of people's whole lives. And you can chat to someone, you know, whenever you want. And I think everyone should have the right to that.
Yeah, so. I agree. And it takes people like you and I to go, I've had enough. Except, like, if no one else is doing the same about it, then I'll fucking do it. You know, like, I want the world to be like that, and no one else is doing it. So I've got to be the world that I want it to be, kind of thing.
Yeah, it is a bit of that. I did get sick of it, and I did get sick of being judged for it for a long, long time. You know that awful feeling when it's beautiful to have someone who understands, like, it's so amazing to talk to you. But then you get an odd fish every now and then where someone takes it really badly, and you don't know how people are going to react. And look, there's a lot of chat about mental health now, isn't there? We're like, talk to someone. What if you speak to the wrong person? Because you must have had this. You speak to somebody and they react very badly and they judge you severely for it. And then you get this awful, hairy kind of situation where you're like, oh my God, they think I'm crazy. And they're like, oh my God, how do I get away from this person? Mm-hmm. And it's really obvious. And it's really, if you know it, it's painful. And then it's like, I have a mini crash every time that happens.
It takes you back down quite a lot, doesn't it? Because it's like you've put yourself out there, and then it just confirms everything your brain's telling you, that you're shit. And it's like, oh yeah, right, yeah, so I definitely am shit.
Yeah.
So when did you first, when, what was your first experiences then? When did you first kind of, I'm just curious, in that, like, I can remember quite specifically when I started to feel different. I always say it was around 9. It was when I started to feel like I didn't match up to other people, and start to feel incredibly self-conscious. And then that ties in with puberty. And then as I've kind of gone on my fucking mental health odyssey, I kind of understand why I was like that. Around 9, I remember just kind of like, I couldn't ever find the right, like, I put something, I was constantly changing my clothes, just really, really self-conscious. And I went into senior school and it just ramped up massively then. And then I was like, I felt really shit, and I felt, And that was pretty much stayed like that. I mean, I'm a lot better nowadays, but it's taken a long time. So, yeah, but how was it for you?
Well, I think probably, like, I mean, when I was a kid, I always felt like the black sheep, and I always felt a bit odd. And there were certain jokes that flew around about, oh, you're a bit of an odd fish and all that kind of stuff. And I suppose looking back on it, I didn't read too much into it. And there wasn't anything noticeable that had happened. But I do know when I was at school, I had a terrible time. I think when I was about 17, I mean, it probably goes way back before then. It's funny that you say about changing your clothes. I used to change my room around the whole time. I was always moving furniture. Constantly moving furniture because I said to my mum I wanted to look at things in a different way, and it was, I mean, she thought it was odd, probably because it was a bit odd, and so it may have always been a bit of a funny duck in that way. But no, when I was 17, when I was at school, I was insomniac and I just didn't sleep, and I had a psychiatrist that I went to, and I went to the doctor and he put me on a bunch of pills, you know, that wasn't really safe at the time. I was on a bunch of medication that the doctor had given me that the school hadn't agreed to and my parents hadn't agreed to, and then a bunch of sleeping pills. And yeah, I was just awake. I remember I lost time. I remember I lost a couple of days once because I didn't remember what had happened. I'd been awake for so long. And from what I thought, I remembered me in my pajamas trying to go to bed. And the next thing I know, I was walking to class with a schoolmate. And I had no recollection of how I got there or got dressed or got up, but it was 2 days later. So I don't know if I was functioning for those 2 days or if I was kind of there but not really there. Or
that's got I know that one. I still have that occasionally. Maybe not as bad, but there's a term for it. You know. What you were saying about like your family jokingly saying, oh, she's a bit different. I had that. I'm like the only boy. I've got two older sisters. And I was always kind of told that I was a big girl's blouse, as in, you know, like that just made me, you know, a baby. I'd get upset, sensitive. And it took me like a lot longer to realize that's where the damage was done. You know, it wasn't any big thing, but that all the time, and never feeling like my sister, and I was unwell a lot as a child, so not realizing that, you know, I was sickly, so that made me separate, and then being told those kind of things, like you said,
yeah,
it seeps into your brain, so you're like, well, so what's wrong with me, you know. It's really similar, actually.
It's funny though, because I think, you know, there were the odd comment, those odd comments that are said, were always said in like joviality and in kindness. They weren't, you know, they weren't meant to be anything. But I think the person that told me the most that I was something wrong with me was me. I always said to myself, you're a bit funny. You don't deserve stuff. You're too ugly. You know, you're the outsider. And I was very critical about my appearance as well. Still am a little bit, and would use that quite as a huge weapon against myself. So if anything went wrong, you know, that would have been normal, like, oh, I don't know, I broke something, or like kids break something. Then for me, I would go, well, only you would have done that. Only you, you ugly little shit. Nobody else would have done that in the family. Everyone else is brilliant, but you fuck up, aren't you? And I did talk to myself that way for a very, very long time.
I have to kick myself up the arse like every day. I was doing it to myself earlier, at like lunchtime. I was doing exactly that. And I was like, and I was a child again almost. And I'd say, what the fuck are you doing, Nick? Stop it. Like, I was doing exactly that and I still do it. But I have much, much better control on it now. But that, everything you're saying is exactly the same as I did. I did all of that. I was massively self-critical. But I can see where those seeds were sown now, you know, in those early little comments, in those little things. And then as you're getting older, you start to kind of self-realise. And then all those little comments all come into play. You know, there's something, you know, there's something wrong with me. I'm shit.
Yeah. Well, now that we've open this up, I'm thinking about before that, when I was about 15 at school, some girls at school called me a psycho for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, she's the psycho. And I remember it really clearly, because obviously, you know, that was just normal then, wasn't it? You just go, hey, you're a bit of a psycho, and you just take it on the chin. Like, you'd never say anything like that now, because we're so woke about it, aren't we? But, you know, at the time, I just took it on the chin, and I just thought, yeah, you are the weird one. You will never have what these girls have. You won't achieve anything because you are a psycho. And I think about that a lot now, like that specific sort of bunch of girls. And I worry, in case I bumped into them, what would they say about me? What would they say about me now? Now they can say, oh, we always knew she was a psycho. And now look at her. She stars at a mental health charity.
I'll be like, fuck you, I started a mental health charity.
Yeah, I am a psycho.
It's so true, those little comments, you know, like it's amazing. So I'm a probation officer, so I work with a lot of various people who have committed some horrendous crimes through the years of work. And many, 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 like a disproportionate amount of them were bullied.
Yeah.
They were either bullied by their family, you know, there was abuse or whatever, or they were bullied at school. So they then go the complete other way and show them, I'm not going to be bullied. So they become fucking dangerous. And some people do that, and then some people do what you and I do, is we internalise it, and we go, yeah, I was thinking that anyway, you've just confirmed it.
Yeah. Well, we're all a product of our experiences, aren't we, at the end of the day? And it's just more kind of the way you read into it is it either takes the power away or it gives you the power.
Yeah.
So if you can take it and go, okay, you know, I mean, it is quite, I've been in a situation before and I was getting on quite well with someone, and we were having a good time at a party, and they said, what do you do? And I said, I run this mental health charity. And they said, why? And I said, because I have depression, and it all went prickly, and it was so awful. I took it so badly, and then I thought, actually, I feel a bit sorry for you. Like, I feel a bit sorry that you don't know how to react. Like, this is 2020, get a grip.
Yeah, you know, some kind of fear.
Yeah, it's like, it's really antiquated. It's like, you know, just get over it already. We've all got mental health problems, all right? Some of them are really bad, some of them are, you know, passable, but everyone's struggling, and especially right now we're in this clusterfuck of a situation. Everyone's got, you know, problems with their mental health, and I remember thinking at that party, oh, come on, like, come on, you really don't know what to say to me. I'm just a person, and I felt sorry for them. I really did, and that's probably one of the first times that I turned it around and I didn't put it back on me, and it felt pretty good.
Yeah, I kind of made the decision when I, just before starting the podcast, really, that constantly turning it in on me was the problem.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not fucking going to do it anymore. Like, I had some grief at work, and that had all made me feel bad about myself. And I was like, I'm not fucking going to do it anymore. I'm going to tell the world, I don't give a fuck who knows, I'm not ashamed of who I am. I will not be ashamed again. And now, like, if someone did that, I'd be like, all right, see you later. And I won't bring it back on me anymore. And I, you know, like, there was just this point where I was like, this is killing me. You know, this is fucking killing me. And I've done nothing wrong. You know, I've suffered my whole life. And, like, I'm the one who's getting hurt. I've done nothing wrong. I've got an illness, you know, like, it's not my fault. So I refuse to fucking take it anymore. And it's been a bit of a revolution for me, really. You know, like, just that, no, I've got an illness and I can't help it. You know, and like, fuck you if you've got a problem with it. I'm like, I always kind of see myself in terms of, like, it's a disability. You know, if I had an obvious disability, you wouldn't say it. But believe me, this is a disability. This has been, you know, it's plagued me. You know, I've got no, you should be saying, I'm so sorry you have to go through that. You know, and I still have it. It's funny, I had it with my family a while ago when I kind of when we first started, and they were like, oh, you shouldn't talk about your dad like that so openly. And I was like, what? So, you know, like, so everyone's got the up with me because someone else has caused me to be ill. It's like, I'm the victim. Fuck you. I have got no reason to be ashamed. Everyone else, you should be ashamed. You should be saying, I'm sorry, not, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. You know, I was like, no, bollocks. I'm not having it. And I just, that's it. And, you know, if people don't like it, like, fuck off. I really don't get it. I won't have it.
All this judgy shit has to pass. I mean, just get over yourself for a second. Do you know? And also because people don't realise how absolutely desperate it is to battle. And we battle every fucking day, if not every hour. And it is a battle from the moment you wake up to make it through the day. And you have to fight harder than everyone else because the obstacles in your way are that much bigger. A phone call, a Zoom call, a meeting, getting in your car, brushing your teeth, getting out of fucking bed. These things are insurmountable obstacles. And the fact that you can get through them and do that is amazing. Yep. And this is what I think about the volunteers that we have, because as you know, all the volunteers have been through their own mental health struggles. And there, at the end of the day, have come back and they want to help other people. And for me, that makes them absolute legends because they want to do that. And for me, they are incredible fighters. And they are beautiful people. And I think anyone who wants to judge them, ooh, I'll fight their corner. You know I will.
Yeah. I say it all the time, but I see like my mental health in almost in terms of an addiction where you've always got to be working on it. You know, like if someone's always avoiding the drink, I feel like I'm doing that with the black dog. You know, you're always kind of, it's always there and it can always take over. But I've got to be working on it all the fucking time to keep it at bay. And it's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting because like every few months, I'm like, I just crash out. Like I'll have 2 days in bed. Like at the weekends, like my wife is so good to me that she'll let me kind of, I'll have a good 12 hours sleep over a week. You know, like Friday and Saturday night sometimes, just because I'm exhausted with this internal fight that's always going on. It's fucking tiring as hell because you're fighting yourself. No one realises it actually wears you out. It does. It wears you out like you wouldn't believe.
I know. You look in the mirror like you again. All right, let's go.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of ended up having an argument with my doctor and saying, right, I need to see a psychiatrist. I saw a psychiatrist when I was like in my like mid-teen, and the psychiatrist was great. And then he put me on to, I used to have to go to the mental health hospital to see someone every week. It was an awful experience. And then I was like, well, you put me on there before, right, I want to fucking see a psychiatrist. I'm not leaving until I see a psychiatrist, until you refer me. And the doctor was like, well, he's only going to give you different pills. And I'm like, well, yeah. So even that would be all right. And then when I saw a psychiatrist, they were like, they went through their kind of checklists. And they were like, are you always exhausted? And I was like, I have been exhausted since I was a kid. I've been exhausted my whole fucking life. And he was like, and do you ever find like you just kind of lose time? And I'm like, yeah. And he just went through this list of things. And I was like, yep, yep, yep. And it was the first time anyone had almost had said like, yeah, that's because you're ill. You know, like that's not because you're lazy. Because everyone always said, oh, you're lazy. Like my family always would infer I was lazy. And like, and then one day he was like, no, you're not lazy. You're just not well. And I was like, oh, man. Like
a massive relief.
Yeah, yeah, huge. Absolutely. That was the game changer. That was when I was like, no, I'm really ill. I kind of knew I was ill. But then they were like, they said, because I was depressed so young, they said I had borderline personality disorder. Which I think sometimes I might hit the symptoms, but not always.
Yeah.
And they said that because I was depressed so young, I went through the kind of changes through puberty with depressed eyes, as in everything's shit, there's no point in anything, and I'm fucking shit, there's no point in me. Which meant that that kind of becomes your personality, that's your worldview. And they said, and it's quite, not many people get it that young that that's what happens.
Right.
And then it started to just all make sense. And I'm like, this all fucking matches up. It all matches up. And they were like, we can give you this other medication. And the doctor said, and said anything about this medication, add the other medication. And it really pulled me through. And then they gave me psychotherapy, which is like, it can last for years. I'm still doing it now. And it is, it's like you really get the person digs into your life and you get to understand your life. And it's not 6 weeks. It's like you can do psychotherapy for 10 years.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's like, oh, I think I get it. And I really feel like now I'm getting to the point where I'm like, I might stop psychotherapy soon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's weird because I think, like, some days I'm like, I've fucking got this. And like, I feel like that more often than not over the last year. Yeah, especially the last year. Had a few knocks, and the knocks haven't made me lose it. You know, they haven't taken me down like they used to. And yeah. The fact that I'm responding to the knocks in a much more rational way suggests that I'm kind of getting there.
Yeah, I love that. For me, with the knocks, now that I'm getting them, I had one this week, actually. Somebody, oh, it's embarrassing, actually, but I will tell you. Yeah. It was an online date, right? And somebody said, oh, what do you do? And I said, I work for a mental health charity. And they said, oh, which one? And they found out it was My Black Dog. And then they obviously had gone on the website and were like, oh, I don't think this is going to work out. And I was like, oh, we're like, they read all the stuff about me and they know that I've got depression and they don't want to date me. And I was like, oh, wah, wah, for a little, and I thought, I was a bit sad, to be honest. I was like, oh, they've clearly gone and found out some stuff about me. Mm. And then I was really embarrassed. And I thought, no, do you know what? Do you know what? If you looked on the My Black Dog website, you'd see Nick, you'd see Eddie, you'd see Gail, you'd see Kate, you'd see all these amazing people. I was like, this is the My Black Dog crew. And yeah. We're really cool, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've got some wicked people. And I was like, do you know what? No, actually, you should be lucky to like hang out with us. We're awesome. And I think that me having these blows lately is because I've got such great people behind me. And I really mean that. Like I feel so honoured to have so many people supporting, not just My Black Dog, but me personally, and just going, oh, cool, well done, good for you. Yeah, go for it. And that's been so nice, because never in my life has anyone ever, they've been like, oh, you're too sensitive, or, you know, go and get some counselling, but don't talk about it. You know, kind of that sort of stuff. And now everyone's like, go on, trumpet it out. But yeah, I did, that knock was easier this week. I would have taken that really badly another time.
And also, like, you're going to, no relationship is going to work if someone's not, like, on board or has some understanding. So it's like, well, actually, wheedled it out, nice, done.
Well, exactly, you know, it's kind of like, this is me, kind of got to take, it's kind of what I am, it's what I do, and it's who I am, and it's, I live and breathe it, so get on board with it.
Yeah, that's me. I'm like, I can't do anything about this shit, so you're either with me or you're not. And I'm not going to feel bad about it.
It's not going away. It's going to get a lot hairier than this.
Yeah. Yeah. So over the years then, so you said like when you were 17 is kind of was when you started to really kind of see it.
Yeah.
And it started to really hit home.
Yeah. I did. So that was, and that was a really rough couple of years, actually. I just had a terrible time with insomnia. The insomnia was bad. I mean, it's mad. You go absolutely insane. Like, I didn't know what I was saying and who I was and half the time, and I just didn't know what was real and what wasn't real.
That's what I meant to say. I had insomnia as well, and I had insomnia until I was from really young, actually. I never used to be able to sleep well from quite a really young age. And then I only sort of like I used to kind of never get to sleep till about 4 o'clock in the morning. Those hours in the night, they're fucking torturous if you're not well. They're the worst, aren't they?
They're awful because everything's become scary as well. Like everything is so terrifying. You're going, oh my God, I've got to face tomorrow. Oh my God, tomorrow. And you know what? Everything becomes hard. You're like, I've got to get dressed. What do I wear? How do I put clothes on? I can't bear it. And it just is so overwhelming, isn't it? Everything becomes huge.
Yeah, and that anxiety that you're not going to function well the next day anyway. And then you think, I'm going to fuck everything up. And yeah, the only thing that cured my insomnia was having children. Cured it overnight. Fucking cured it.
Apart for that.
They just wore me out and they still wear me out. Like, I sleep really well now.
Awesome. Good job, kid.
Yeah, 12 years ago, nearly. Yeah, 12 years ago next month was the day that I was cured of insomnia. But it was also pretty much the time my mental health went. My mental health really turned again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was traumatic when we had my daughter. And, yeah, my mental health really, I had a few good years in there. You know, when I met my wife, I wasn't very ill at all. And then I had my daughter. And I think there's all those things where you're like, I don't feel connected. And I don't feel, this doesn't feel like, I was hoping when you're depressive, you're hoping for something to save you.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that children, having a child, would save me and give me purpose. It would give me a point to being alive. And it didn't. It really didn't. And I say this to people and they really struggle with it. Because they're like, oh, I just think everyone thinks, oh, what a wanker. Selfish wanker.
I don't, because I get it. Because I mean, I don't have kids actually, but I know that I'd find life in generally quite invaluable sometimes. I mean, sorry, not valuable sometimes. I find life to be really like, oh, I'll take it or leave it. And yeah. Some people go, but it's life, you know, grab it by the balls. And you're like, no, take it or leave it. I don't really want to do it. It's a shag. And then like happy occasions like weddings and whatever. I'm like, no, take it or leave it. I'm not bothered. You know, like all the joyful things that you're supposed to be joyful about, like someone getting married or like a baby being born or, I don't know, getting a promotion. I just, for me, it's just met with numbness. I'm sort of like, sometimes I'm happy about it, sometimes I'm not. So I get that. I mean, even your own life isn't, like, you're not even joyful about that.
No, yeah. I don't experience a lot of joy. I never really have. I could be happy-ish now. But, you know, like, I find on the occasion when everyone else is feeling happy, is when I'm most critical of myself. So everyone else is happy. Say like we're on a day, everyone else is having a lovely time. My wife's going, this is brilliant. And I'm like, why don't I feel like that? You know, like, why don't I feel like that? What's like, and then I start thinking, why don't I ever like anything? You know, and then you start kind of turning in on yourself and I have to go, no. Look at the sky, isn't it nice? You know, like I have to do like those little things to kind of try and pull it around. And it is, it's like, oh, you've had a baby, why are you not happy? It's like, yeah, why am I not happy? What the fuck's wrong with me? It's hard, isn't it? It's fucking hard.
It's hard. And then, you know, you've got to try and fight. Then every now and then I go try and hunt for the joy. So I'm like, where's the joy? Everyone else has it. I want it. And then I'm sort of like, I'm like that little, like, shy kid on the outside of the disco. And everyone else is, like, fucking excited. Their hormones are popping and they're just, like, all jacked up on Coke, Coca-Cola. I don't know, maybe Coke. I don't know. Yeah. How old are they, these kids? And I'm like this sort of chubby 12-year-old just standing on the side being like, I'm never going to be happy. You know, it's just tragic, isn't it? It's fucking tragic. But it's like, I'm doing it now as an adult in real life.
Yeah.
Like, I never grew out of that. Like that
little 12-year-old. Yeah, you know, in a strange way, I think I'm certainly the same. I remember when I used to go to clubs with my mates, like, and we used to go to like Indian alternative clubs, like go up to London and things all the time. And my friends would all be going out trying to get girls. And I was always, where I had such a low opinion of myself, it's like, there's no point talking to any girls, they're not going to want to know me. And I always felt like that. And I used to, my mates would all be copying older girls and I would be sitting there. I used to like make little people out of fag packets and things. So that was me all the time. The only thing that kind of changed that was drugs and alcohol.
Right.
Save, that pulled me through for many, many years, because it made me a little bit more confident. But I used to have crushing lows afterwards. But it would make me the kind of life of the party. But I was such a bitter person because I was still like frightened of women. You know, I was frightened of girls. I really was. I was always was. I'm not now, but like that's fairly recent, really. I was always really. When I met my wife and we got married, it was like, oh, like all of that anguish just suddenly was like, I don't have to fucking feel that anymore. That was really cool.
Yeah.
And that's what I liked about growing up as well. It's because it was like, I can leave all of that shit that hurt me so much behind. But yeah, I was the same. I was that guy on the corner, you know, like you see in American movies, sitting on the bleachers who hasn't pulled anyone. And it's like, I never used to think I'm a right geek or anything, but I just didn't have any confidence. And that was because of my depression.
Yeah.
That's your fucking.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And you're so, everything's so raw all the time. You know, the smallest little thing will just send you flying backwards. So raw, isn't it? I had a great response to that the other day. Somebody was like, you're so sensitive. And the person, I think I saw on a show, they said, you're so sensitive. And they went, yes, I still experience feelings. Thank you. I thought, yeah, that's right, actually. I just have more feelings than you.
Yeah, yeah, I just feel things deeply. But, yeah, I don't feel joy. It's really weird, isn't it? It's like, I feel all the negative shit. I feel all that times 10. You know, like, but, you know, everyone else is having fun. And like, I'm sitting there thinking, what the fuck's wrong with me? Why am I not having fun? That was like, my teens, right the way up into my 30s, really, was...
Yeah.
Everyone else having a laugh. And then I'm sitting here thinking... You're really shit because you don't even know how to have a laugh. Everyone, like, you go to clubs, and I just used to desperately want to go home. But I thought I can't because I've got to try and be a human.
Do you ever go to parties and then you're like, you've got to stick it out because something fun must happen at some point. And then you're like the last person at the party and you're like, I should have gone home 4 hours ago and this is worse than ever. And I should have gone. What a nightmare. Now I can't get a cab and it's too late and it's cold and all my mates have gone. That's me.
Yeah.
It's FEMA failure.
More often than not, I would be the one going, trying to plant the seed of doubt in my friends' heads. Like... Yeah, we should fuck off, shouldn't we? Yeah. Because I just want out because I'm not really enjoying myself and everyone else is. And then because they are, it makes me feel worse about myself.
Stop having fun, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. It makes you lock yourself away. For years, I locked myself away, really. For many years, I kind of... It's funny because I still managed to... Like, I played in bands and like I did some great things. It's really weird because I hated myself and I had no confidence, but I still would go and do things, like do things that required confidence. I think what I used to do was sail off the back of someone else a lot. Yeah. So someone else is up there doing it and they're like, do you want to come? And I'm like, yeah. And then I'd almost just sail behind them, feeling awful about myself, but I'd do it because it's like someone else is going, come and do it. So I just do, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes you just need that though. Like you just need someone to go, can you come with me? Just come with, and you just need someone to sort of, you know, take your hand and teach something. Because like, of my own accord, I wouldn't go to a lot of things. Yeah. But if someone came to my house and picked me up and took me with them, I'd go to probably 10 times more things than I do now. But it's just psyching myself up to get out of the house that is the hardest part. It'll take a few glasses of wine and me sort of pacing around for a fair amount of time. And then I might go, okay, just go. It's fine. And then, you know.
Oh, I still have that, though. I still have that.
It's a nightmare. I hate it. I do it all the time. So this is, so, you know, this social distancing thing is actually, in some ways, quite good for us introverts. Because
I liked it, yeah.
I don't go to anything. Amazing.
Yeah, no pressure. You know, like, your mate rings up or texts you. You can have a chat and there's no... Oh, all right. Would you want to like go out next weekend? It's like,
fear.
Like I haven't got to go through that. It's brilliant, but I still do that. I still do it. Like I want to go and see a band I love, and I'm still talking myself out of it right up until the point like, you know, I'm up and I leave the house and I have to kick myself up the arse to do anything, really. Anything social, I do.
I should share this with my friends, really, because they'd get me out more if they knew this, I reckon. If I said, look, I can't get myself out of the house, can you just come and get me? Yeah. And then I'd go to loads more things with them, because I bottle it a fair amount. I'll just go, I can't deal, I'm not going.
Yeah, I really have to kind of force myself not to bottle it on things. I tend to find I commit to lots of things. Even if it's just like doing podcasts, it's like I commit to it. And then I'm like, I can't let people down. Because if I let people down, then I start going in on myself because I'm like, well, of course you let them down. You're a piece of shit and all that.
Last week, yeah.
And then I'm like, no, I'll commit to it. And then I'm much more likely to do it because I don't want to let anyone down because, you know, you just feel shit. And then, but then I do go through periods when I'm not that well, and then I let everyone down. And yeah. Like, I can't say, oh, I don't, you know, it's like, oh, my wife's not feeling well, or like, the kids aren't well. Another good thing kids are good for, they're really good for excuses.
Oh my God, and how many excuses do you need? Like, I'm such a BSer, I'll be like, oh, I'm spraying my ankle, can't come. Yeah. Or like, I don't know, my neighbour's flat is on fire, or you know, anything. I will tell you anything to get out of stuff. It's terrible, and I've had to come clean now because people know what I do and what I'm about. But I've got some really good mates, and I'll just go, I can't. I'm sorry, I'm a mess, and I can't come. And they're very kind. Some of my friends will go, do you want us to come to you, or what can we do? And just them doing that is so beautiful, and I'm so lucky to have them. But there's some, most of the time I'll go, nothing. I just want to be alone. But a couple of times I've got some pretty relentless friends that will just come round anyway. And even if we just sit and watch TV, it's all right.
Yeah, that's good. I'm not really, strangely enough, I haven't really got many friends like that, really.
No? Well, you got me.
I've got you now, yeah. And that's good. And since I've kind of come out as being mental, my life has got so much better.
Right. I know.
I've made all these new friends and got like loads more support, and I feel better. And that's why I'm like, don't shy away from it. I am fucking mental and proud, and I don't care anymore. And my life has improved dramatically. It's quite insane, really, how much better I am just for being like out. You know, I'm out of the closet.
And I think the secret wears you down a bit because you are lying a lot. I mean, we're really good liars, aren't we? People with mental health are really good liars. I mean, we'll tell you anything, we'll do anything. And I'm a very good actress. I'm quite good at sort of pretending things are okay. And fool a lot of people for a long time, I think. And it feels quite nice not to have to lie to people anymore. Like, I don't want to do it. Yeah. I mean, I kind of just want to be me. And that would be really nice if, you know, I could just be me and just do that.
Yeah, and it's kind of validating as well. Because you're like, if you're being honest and you're being who you are and people still like you, you're like, I can't be that bad then. And here's a good one for you. Here's a good one. And this is especially, I hope that you can take this. You can't be, like, your brain is telling you you're shit all the time. And I told this to someone else, and it really ring true. And then they told it back to me, and I've forgotten. And I was saying, like, you can't be that shit if you're doing all this good stuff for other people. It's like, it's not feasible. Like, you can't be a shitty piece of crap if you're being so lovely and selfless for other people. How can you be shit? You can't be. It's impossible. You've wiped it all out. You've like, you're too far that way to be that way. And I'm like, and now I'm like, yeah, I can't be that shit because I'm trying to help people with mental health. Like, all right, I like showing off, but it's like, so you can't be that shit because you're doing so good things for other people. It's just, it just doesn't wire up.
Okay, good. It's good to know. I'm going to remember that.
Yeah, you can't be shit. How can you be shit? Like, you know, if you were like a doctor, you can't think, oh, I'm shit. because I'm like, I'm saving people's lives every fucking day. And you have to remember, my black dog will be saving people's lives. You know, it's saving people's lives. Like, when you really think about it, and you think about it in this, like, how, where we have been in our lives, like, having someone to talk to saves your fucking life. You know, it's that tenuous sometimes. And you're like,
yeah,
I'm saving lives. Can't be that bad, can I? But actually, I'm fucking good. Actually, I'm fucking pretty fucking great. That's what I think.
I know. Yeah, it's funny what you're saying about tenuous and it being that, because actually just having that chat, it is the difference between going, I want to finish things today, or I want to do things tomorrow.
Yep. I think for me, more often than not, it's saying something out loud to another person. Quite often, it doesn't really matter who they are. If I say what's in my head out loud, I go, as I'm saying it, I'm like, oh, that's ridiculous. I didn't realise. You know, my wife would be like, what's going on? You're not yourself. And then I'll say it aloud. And like, I don't even wait for her to reply. I'm like, oh, I'm fucking being stupid, aren't I? Oh shit! I'm doing what I've got. Like, I'm like a teenager again, and then I realise that I've just been, you know, the verbalising is often all I need to do.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Super powerful. I mean, it's terrifying to do though.
Yeah, it can be.
Credit people for that, because you know, one of the main things that we have in My Black Dog is that people just don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And we are saying this all the time now, aren't we? We're like, talk. And it's so, you know, sorry, but what, you want me to reach into my soul and drag out the rawest, messiest, terrifying things in there and then, like, show them to, what, my best mate? Like, come on. That is a fucking big ask. Like, we say it to people like it's easy. Like, talk. It's not. So I admire anyone who can just go, all right, just say it. Just say it out loud. Do it. And because it is amazing to do, because it does, it's like getting a gin out of your body.
It's really when I'm really not well, I know when I'm really not well now, I've kind of learnt it. I start thinking about things like murder and, like, you know, like really terrible shit and stuff that you can't. Go, I'm thinking about killing everyone. You know, like, you can't say that to anyone. And I'm like, but I do. You know, I've never killed anyone, so it's very unlikely it's going to happen. But like, I know when, like, if I start that train of thought, I'm like, I'm starting to be unwell. Right, I need to go and be honest in psychotherapy rather than, you know, just have a light session. I'm like, I need to have a really honest, right.
Yeah.
Wrap in, because I'm going to say loads of really terrifying shit right now.
It is terrifying. Like, for me, it's like quite a lot of rage. Sometimes I just get so upset about things and frustrated. More in things like just things like small things. Listening to Trump, I get into a fucking rage, like a real full blown rage. And there's no stopping me. And it's hideous. And I think, ooh, maybe you need to tone it down a bit. I mean, it's just Trump. Calm down. Everyone's annoyed by him.
I think I get that. Where I'm so kind of placid, and I'm very frightened of, like, physical confrontation. I'm very frightened of it. Where I'm so placid, I've never let out my anger anywhere. You know, like, blokes go and have a fucking fight down the pub, don't they? And I've never done any of that. And I don't do any physical stuff because I'm so self-conscious. So I never, in a kind of appropriate way, let out that anger. So I depression breeds this certain bitterness that your life isn't like everyone else's, you know? And that turns into anger and rage, and it doesn't go anywhere. I tend to have it in my dreams, and then sometimes I have repetitive thoughts, like, you know, murder everyone kind of thoughts, and that's where my anger goes. So, you know, like, you get that anger, but I've got no outlet like other people do.
Yeah.
So I have to really fucking aware of that, because once that, like, it is just like this kind of inner bitterness. It's like, why has my life been so shit and everyone else's isn't? It's fucking hardcore.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, but the more you talk about it and the more you work through it, the more you see the path.
Yeah, you do. You totally do. And you also, I found where, like, now, my kind of automatic thoughts aren't negative anymore. Mm. Before, like, my automatic thinking was always negative. Now I notice that they're just not. They're not. Where I've been, like, so fucking on it for the last 2 years, been so on it, like, I'm constantly pulling myself up mentally. No, no, that's not true. Actually, that's good. Like, just through repetition, it started to, I don't go negative straight away anymore. Yeah, fucking weird, isn't it? It's really weird.
Yeah, but it's just probably because you've been, you know, that repetitiveness of the negative you've been doing your whole life.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over again. It's like part of your DNA now. Yeah. And then now you're flipping it around. You're probably, you know, you're becoming different. You're just a different person.
Yeah, I do. Like, I do quite often think I'm not the person I used to be.
Yeah.
I really, really have changed so much. Yeah, like, my life is quite, I mean, my inner life is quite different. Loads of little things, though. You know, like, someone will just say something and I'll be like, ah. You know, like, you know, your brain's not in charge. You know, I'm like, ah, fuck. But, like, my thoughts, just thoughts that I don't have to, like, I could just ignore them. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, all these little nuggets of really just, they're the things that come back to me when I start going negative. I'm like, it's just my brain trying to protect me. It's fine. Fuck off, brain. You're all right. And now I'm like, yeah, I won't.
Way. Get out of here, thoughts.
Yeah, I don't see my thoughts as being real particularly. They're just like, I decide whether I want to go with it or not now. Yeah. You know, like I said earlier, I felt really negative and I was like, no. This is up to me. I've decided I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to do it. And it works for me now, but it's taken a long time.
Oh, it's really hard. It's like it's taking a lifetime's habit turning it around.
Yeah. I think we might be depression twins. Sounds so similar, yeah. Seriously, like, consider me an ally. Call on me. Seriously, because it's really, like, I've not really come across anyone else who's kind of had it as long. It's quite rare.
When I spoke to our mutual mate, Chris, earlier, he said, you and Nick should work together and be called Nick. A little depression twins.
Yeah, I think he liked you. He was telling me. He was like, oh, she's really nice, isn't she? Like, oh, I haven't met her yet, mate. You met her before me. Yeah, I think you've got a little admirer there. Yeah, I think you have.
Well, not everyone judges me on my mental health, clearly, so that's good.
Oh, no. Chris knows me, so he knows what it's like. Right. Gonna have to wrap it up.
We've been chatting for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
I've loved it. Thank you so much.
I've loved it too. It's so lovely because, as I say, it's really rare when someone's like been through it in a very similar way. So it's really rare and it's kind of like, you know, like, you're like, ah, it's not just me. Like, it's very, I never really get that kind of, like, I do little bits, but not so much. So I'm fucking, like,
I actually feel really, I feel good now. Feel really good talking through. Yes, but anyway, it's been a pleasure. I'm so happy to have you as ambassador as well. I'm super proud to have you on board, and yeah, here's to the road ahead. Right,
it's one of the proudest things for me. Like, you know, it's like, I tell my nan and my mum, it's like, wow, you know, it's like something I've been really proud about. So thank you so much. It kind of like made me feel like everything I'm doing is right. Yeah. So it meant the world to me.
We've got some good times ahead.
Yeah. This is enough of manliness. This is enough of manliness. This is enough.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.